welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we're picking up our study here in John chapter 20. And we're going to be starting again at verse number 19. We left off in this passage. We're wrapped up our study in the Gospel of Mark and taking a look here at this of the Great Commission. There in the Gospel of Mark, our Lord Jesus, Mark writes about the Lord Jesus and what he had given to his church. And again, this is a commission to his local New Testament church that he's given this unto. In Mark 16:15, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." And so the Lord's not saying here that baptism saves, but it is obedience unto the Lord, a good conscience towards God. It's a public testimony and witness. Other passages back this up. It's not a complicated thing at all. Many make it complicated. They would say that the point that I make is complicated. But salvation is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord and not by works of righteousness, which we have done, which baptism is a work. But the brethren preach, as Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch there in the book of Acts, that Christ is the object. He's the one of salvation. He's the Savior. He fulfilled the gospel. And it's by repentance of your sins and faith in him that sinners are saved. But of course, the message is to obey. And so sinners should be baptized, become members of his churches. That's what all the commission is about. But men change things. And we know that it's so that there are people that are saved and never come to baptism by one of the Lord's churches, scriptural baptism. They never come to membership in one of the Lord's churches. And that's just the way it is amongst men. Some would ask, well, Brother Jim, why is that? If God's got this plan, why is it that he allows even his children not obey the plan? Well, John the Baptist said it. He said it in John chapter 3, I believe it is. No man can receive anything except it be given him of the Father. And the Lord Jesus has given us his word, and he's given churches to instruct and to preach and teach the truth. But it's just the case that some people just don't receive it, and some people are just not, it's not given unto them. And it's just, we need the Lord, and he gives us his word. He's magnified his word above all his name, and he expects us to hear him and believe him and trust him in what he says, not doubt or gainsay, as the scriptures say. So he's given the pattern in the scripture. He's given his churches. He called these brethren and others during the day of his ministry, and in that he built his church. And we're going to look at a passage that tells us about that and our Lord's intent. And so this is the Great Commission to the Lord's Church. We come to John 20, and we read this last time. We want to get in depth with it a little bit more. Then the same day, verse number 19, John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Okay, so this is Sunday, having started at 6 p.m., on our Saturday, okay? So that's kind of a hard thing for us to get a handle on, but that's the way the Jewish day, the Old Testament day, and until the Romans and Greeks and their time calendar system that we use today, day starting at midnight. Well, in that day, it's like the scripture says, and like the Lord created, the evening and the morning were the first day. And so at 6 p.m. is when the day started. Our Lord rose from the grave, and then come through the morning, the day, and now in the evening of this first day of the week, our Lord appears unto his disciples. So same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." So the doors are shut, but Jesus is there. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And so they knew it was him, because the marks of crucifixion were there upon his body. And, oh, may we get a handle of that. Our Lord has become a man for our sakes, and he is yet a man today. Then said Jesus to them, verse 21 again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And so he says, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. You're my witnesses. You're my witnesses, we'll see. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Here's the empowerment of the Lord's church. The Lord's church is already at hand, but here's that empowerment by the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, if you will, that the Lord had promised, that seventh work of the Holy Spirit of God, as Jesus says there in Revelation, early chapter 2, chapter 7, he's got the seven spirits of God before him. He is full of the Spirit of God. He is God himself. And so he breathes upon them, says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And this is that promise of the Comforter that would be with them instead of him physically being with them, a promise that the Lord's church has even today. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And so this is authority given to his church. Not that we declare men sinners or no. The Bible, the Word of God, declares whether men are repentant and saved or still lost and dead in their sins. But what the Lord is given here is authority to make judgments regarding the membership of his church, indeed, and to preach his word, to preach his word. And so, you know, sometimes the children of God get wayward. I mean, we saw that about Ananias and Sapphira, didn't we? In the scripture, in the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira, they got wayward. They were children of God. If they hadn't been children of God, the Lord wouldn't have done a thing to them. But they lied about what they gave, saying that they sold the money, sold the property for a certain amount. And then they said that they gave the entire amount to the church when they did not. They lied to the church, lied to the Lord. And you don't lie to the church, and you don't lie to the Lord and get away with it being the child of God. And so, so they are in that government of the church and the discipline of members and such as that. The Lord gives this here that it is the church's responsibility to look over his church. But Thomas, verse 24, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And so here I find this interesting and very good. It's a blessing indeed, that the Lord's, he's not going to move on and he's not going to allow Brother Thomas to go out here and wander off and do his own thing. Here on this first Sunday when the Lord appears to the church, Thomas is missing. And so we have that note there. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see his hands and the print of his nails, see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, so they counted that day, and that's how you get eight, so it's the next Sunday. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. So Jesus, next Sunday, meets with them. A pattern's being set, isn't it? And who's he meeting with? All of the Jews in Jerusalem? Is he meeting with those at the temple? No, he's meeting in the upper room with his church, with his disciples and those that he's called. There are several of them by now. And then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, thrust it in my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas, he deals with Thomas. Thomas has made his demand about what it's going to take. And so he says, Thomas, we need to get, you know, put your finger in the nail prints, and put your hand in my side, and believe. It's me. It's me. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And that's where we all need to be, my Lord and my God. We need to hear and believe and trust our Lord and what he said that is true. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So, again, the word of the Lord. Do you believe the word of the Lord? Do you believe the plan and purpose and work of God Almighty in these things? God says what he means and means what he says, and you and I just need to receive it. And many other signs, verse 30, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. John writes, I love this verse, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one, the ordained one of God to be the Savior. There's salvation in none other but the Lord Jesus Christ and him. Him, God's Son. There's not salvation in Buddha, Allah, Muhammad. There's not salvation in the stars. There's not salvation in this earth. There's not salvation in the leaders of this world. There's only salvation in Jesus Christ, only in him. There's not salvation in Baal and Ashtoreth, all the Greek and Roman gods of mythology. There's no salvation in any man, woman, boy, or girl. There's only salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. But these are written, what's written in this scripture, John tells us, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Savior, that he is the Son of God. That's necessary. And those out there that don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Spirit of God dwelt upon Mary and conceived within her the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit of God did so, and he is God. You deny that Jesus is God, you're Antichrist. That's this is what the scripture says. And I don't say it. It's not my opinion. It's what the Lord says. You deny that Jesus has come in the flesh, that the Son of God has come in the flesh, as is testified by the scripture. It's a great mystery. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy that God was manifested in the flesh. And so he is the Christ, and he is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Not the name of any other, but the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here again, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Our Lord Jesus was not a freelancer, and nor are we to be a freelancer. Then we come over here. We're to follow that example of our Lord. Then we come over here to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we're going to take a look here. Brother Luke writing this book of the Acts of the First Church, Acts of the Apostles, same thing. It's telling about what the church did after Jesus has ascended. And before we get along with that, I just want to remind here about what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 16 about his church. And so we'll mention this, and then we'll be set up to go on there to Acts chapter 1 next time. Here in Acts chapter, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus comes to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asks about who men say that he is, and they answer. And he says, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, verse number 16 of Matthew 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay? And that's who he is. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So hear that. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that's death, the grave. And I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so Jesus says he's building his church, and death of men will not prevail against it. And so his church is going to continue on until he comes back. Lo, I am with you always. He tells us in Matthew 28. I see that our time is past for now. May the Lord bless you with the good word of his truth, the truth of his good word. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.